Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. The Christmas narrative from Luke chapter 2 is familiar to anyone who has ever seen the TV special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, and it is, as Linus says, what Christmas is all about. But what does Luke's narrative of the birth of our Savior really tell us about us and our relationship with God? This isn't just a story we tell once a year, but it is an historical account of an event that happened to actual people in a particular place. This Christmas Eve, our prayer is to find some deeper meaning in the words that we have read so many times before. So grab your Bible, turn it to Luke chapter 2, and prepare your heart and mind as we join the shepherds in saying, "Let us go and see." In our gospel message, we just heard the story of the telling of the birth of our Savior. This past 4 weeks through the season of Advent, we have looked at peace and joy and love and hope. And tonight we celebrate the day when God stepped into the world. He was born a child for the purpose of saving the world, for saving all of us and reconciling us to Himself. Let us pray. Lord God, we have assembled together this night to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Let the music we sing be praise to You. Let our prayers be incense rising before Your throne. Let the lessons we learn be the wisdom that brings us to a saving relationship with You, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The words from the Bible tell us that these things have happened at a certain place and a certain time. These are not just abstract ideas. They're not just mere stories that we tell each other to make us feel good about ourselves. But in fact, they are history. They are historical stories, things that happen to people in certain places, in certain times. And what do we learn from the story that we have heard tonight? Word of God says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city." The first thing we learn is that this birth happened at a certain place and at a certain time. Luke doesn't mention Caesar, Augustus, and Cyrenius, or Quirinius, depending on the translation that you read. He doesn't mention those people because they are important to the story, but they are important for establishing a time, a certain time. People who were reading this at the time would know. Yes, I remember when Caesar Augustus was the ruler of Rome, and I remember when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria, and I remember that particular census that was taken. They were raising taxes to send people to war. And so each person had to go to their own town, which means the town of their heritage. Now, if that were the case today, I would probably have to go to Budapest, Hungary, because that's where my family comes from. So, wherever your family is originally from, that's where you would return. Joseph was a descendant of David. And being a descendant of David, he goes to the city of David, Bethlehem. Happens to be the city where David was born. The text tells us Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And that point is very important, because the Messiah who was to come through the line of King David. You see, God had made a promise to David a thousand years before, that there would always be one of his ancestors on the throne of Israel. And so the Messiah would have to come from David's descendants. Joseph was a descendant of David. And so he went to be registered in the very city where David was born. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Why would Bethlehem, of all towns, be chosen as the birthplace of our Savior? Well, in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we read a prophecy that says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you who are small among the princes of Israel, yet one will come from you, whose goings forth have been proclaimed from of old, from ancient times. He will be the king, and he will come from Bethlehem." Ever thought about what Bethlehem means? Tonight we celebrated communion with simple elements of bread and grape juice. It was the same thing that Jesus did at the Last Supper, which was a Passover celebration. There they feasted, and there they had unleavened bread and wine. And the unleavened bread was the bread of affliction. It was the bread of need, of haste, because the people of Israel, the Hebrews who were slaves in Egypt, had to leave Egypt quickly. So they didn't have time to make bread that would rise. They could only make unleavened bread, bake it quickly, and take it with them. Do you know that in the Hebrew tradition, when they bake the Passover bread, the unleavened bread, they have only 18 minutes to complete it from the time they start mixing the flour and water to the time they take it out of the oven? 18 minutes. It's a bread of haste. But the name Bethlehem, it's interesting. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. Jesus Christ, the bread of the world, came into the world through Bethlehem. He went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. His crib was a food trough for the animals, filled with straw, so that he would have a soft place to lay down. But that was the richest trappings that they could afford. The second thing that we learn from this text is that this birth happened to an otherwise unremarkable couple. There is nothing about Joseph and Mary that stands out. He was a carpenter, a very ordinary person, making a living and espoused to be married to this woman, Mary, who was really nothing more than a young girl, about 14 or 15 years old. And you know, there was nothing remarkable about this couple at all. But God uses unremarkable people to do remarkable things. He chooses people who don't stand out to do something that will stand out. He chooses the ordinary to accomplish the extraordinary. And that's exactly what he did here. We are told in the text, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's a rather remarkable statement and an amazing message to be delivered to whom? To a king? To the high priest? No. To shepherds in the fields. Why did God choose ordinary people to deliver the message to? The third thing that we learn is that the message was delivered to people of humble means, not to kings, not to emperors. Luke mentions that Caesar Augustus was the emperor, that Cyrenius was the governor of Syria, and yet the persons that the angels delivered the message to was none of them. They were shepherds. And I've often thought of why. Why choose shepherds? Because God calls upon us to watch. He calls upon each of us to watch and be ready. In this season of Advent, we have learned that it's not just the season of Christmas that we celebrate during Advent. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of our Savior. But the season of Advent is a preparation of waiting, being prepared for the coming of Christ again. It's the mystery of faith. Christ was born. Christ was died. Christ will come again. He will come again. The shepherds were watching and waiting in their pastures at night. And so God chose them to reveal the message. I imagine it was not an ordinary day at the flock. I'm sure it wasn't every day that a holy host of angels shows up and just starts telling them that a Savior is born. And of all the people that they could have announced it to, shepherds watching over their flock. And the birth was a sign. The birth wasn't just the event that was happening, but it was the sign of the coming of the Savior. And the angel told the shepherds, This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He said, The Savior has been born, and you will find him wrapped in cloths and laying where the animals eat. Because it was a humble birth. Now, the fifth thing that we learn is that the people who received the message responded with haste. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They didn't pack up their things. They didn't round up the herd. They didn't bring all the sheep with them. They left everything. And they came to see the Savior, which had been born. They responded with haste. And the final thing that we see in the text is that those who saw him told other people. It says, When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. It was the most remarkable thing that they had ever seen in their entire lives. It was the most remarkable thing that anybody had ever seen, ever. God stepped off His throne in heaven and was born as a child. A human child. And that child was fully God and fully human. The most remarkable birth ever to occur in the history of the world. So remarkable, in fact, that it has changed the way we tell time. Everything in history now has occurred either before or after this event. This event is a nail in the ground that says this is the moment that the world was changed. And everything happened either before it or after it. That's how our calendar has changed. This birth is so remarkable that it affects everybody, even people who don't believe. Because they know that this event happened. We see people in the stores all throughout the Christmas season and even before. For those of you who aren't here every Sunday, I also have a job, a second job, which is at Amazon. I work in the belly of the beast. I push packages all day long. The other day, one of our shifts set a record 70,000 packages in 5 hours. That's a lot of packages. And then today, being my day off, I made the ridiculous mistake of taking my 2-year-old son to Target on Christmas Eve. Nobody ever accused me of being smart. But people are celebrating. Some people don't even know what they're celebrating. This event is so remarkable that even people who don't believe in it are still celebrating it. How can that be? Because God has ordained it. Because the message is so powerful that you can't escape it. Try as you might. It's impossible to elude. What did you come here tonight to see? Did you come for the music? Did you come to share a feeling with your family? Did you come to see a Christmas pageant with the cutest shepherds and kings you ever saw? Or perhaps, did you come because the irresistible draw of God's love compelled you to come to this place on this night? Because in your heart there was a choir of angels singing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. These are the words we hear every year at this time. But what do they mean? They mean that God is amazing, that God loves each and every one of us, that God took ordinary people in an ordinary place and did something so extraordinary that we are still talking about it 2,000 years later. The shepherds that night made haste. They said, let us go and see. We came here tonight because we wanted to go and see. The mystery is not in how God was born to a virgin. The mystery wasn't how. The mystery is that God did it at all. But that is how much God loves us. He was born, He lived, and then He died so that we could be made free from the bondage to sin and death. Welcome, all who love the Lord. Let us go and see this mystery as it unfolds before us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, what an amazing work you have done for each and every one of us. You freed us from slavery just as you freed the Hebrews in Egypt. We passed through the waters of baptism just as the Hebrews passed through the Red Sea into salvation. We thank you for all you have done, and we praise your holy name. Let this Christmas be about more than just the gifts we receive from each other, but about the gift you have given us, the greatest gift we will ever receive. Let our hearts be changed and let our lives be lived for you and you alone. And let our lives be a witness to your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. If our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.